I totally agree. Let's get this interview started. Oh, if that's okay with you. I know you should probably be a very busy man and all that
Let's
stuff.
do it.
Awesome. So,
Got a lot of stuff going on, but yeah.
yeah, tell me about it. It's been like 11 years since you did for the 2008 masterpiece, didn't you? It's been a while since you made a new album. So, what you guys been doing in that meantime?
We've been on tour. We've just been tackling different markets, mostly Europe and South America and the Asian markets, and trying to figure out, we've tapped into a new audience, especially in Europe, and it's a young audience now. So it reminds me of the ones to be in like '87, and it's that excitement level is so back now. So I decided I want to make a record for them. That was the whole purpose of making the album. It was like, okay, I have a new audience now. And but I also wanted to make sure the older fans loved it too. So that was what took me so long to figure out how to do that. And I think I did that on this record. So it was a challenge, but yeah, we've been on tour. We never stopped touring. And it didn't make sense to make an album because the music industry crashed. I had made Deal with the Devil. And it just came out, no marketing, no nothing. I made A Point with Death. That came out, no marketing. And it just made absolutely no sense to make records that is not going to find the audience that I'm making the records for. So I decided there was no reason to do it. But I did, Metal Blade now is bigger record company than they have ever been, including in the 80s. So, they figured out a way now to get the records out to the people who care. So Brian Slagle talked me into making records again, and I'm glad he did. I really miss being a recording artist, and now I'm so excited. I'm so gung ho. I'm ready to go. Ready to make more records.
That's awesome. That's awesome too. I totally understand where you're coming from. I've heard, with the new digital age and all that, that a lot of people are losing interest in music, but it seems in recent years that it seems like Europe, like you said, has a huge rise in interest when it comes to heavy metal these days, it seems like. And the younger people are tending to be going more for the old school sound than ever before. Wouldn't you see that you probably Lizzie Borden is probably gonna have that same effect in Europe, that it's gonna project them once again back into the top of the charts, you think?
Well, who knows? I hope so. But definitely, we are tapping into a younger market, and that in turn makes the older fans excited. So when they see young kids going crazy, they start going crazy. So it helps the whole thing together. You have to keep influxing younger fans, and the fact that it kind of skipped a generation because of hip hop, and especially in North America, they kind of veered off from these classic metal or classic written songs, and but now they're kind of back. They kind of discovered it somehow, and they're getting into vinyl and all this stuff that was completely out of their generation, but they're discovering it and making it their own. So it's turning it into a very exciting thing again. And for a good long while, it wasn't that exciting. It was we were going along, but now it's so exciting to launch a tour and go out on the road and play for these ex fans that are so excited to see us. And then, like I said, the older fans see that and they go crazy. So it's contagious, and I love it.
That's awesome. That's a cool point you actually did about the whole like now everyone, even the younger generation, is now getting to the whole collecting vinyl again, collecting CDs and all that. They're getting back into that old school feel of appreciating a craft that is, most people don't appreciate that much. But it's awesome to hear that you actually are targeting more younger demographic now, because that would definitely help you in the odds when it comes to like touring and all that and the record sales indeed. Will you say, like, when you were in the studio, that was like one of your main focuses, trying to find some of that to attract more younger audiences?
Well, when I did the Visualize album, we had done two records that were just musician records. And we were getting away from the original idea that I had. The bands that I loved had great songs, and we were just showcasing musicians. And it didn't make sense to me. I was like, okay, why am I doing this? Why am I showcasing all these musicians? I should be showcasing a song. So I kind of went back to that mentality, and we did the Visualize album. It was whatever serves the song. And so, you know, we stripped out all the extra bass lines. We stripped out all the shredding guitars. We tried to write good songs. That was the whole goal. And the song wins all the time above someone just show off their talent. So, for this album, I wanted to go back to that way of thinking. I didn't want to showcase musicians. I wanted to showcase the songs. So I wrote them purposely for that. And I know if you write a song like that, it lasts longer and it finds a bigger audience because that you're serving the song rather than showcasing a certain kind of style that may or may not go out of style, you know, in 2 years, you know. So I didn't want to showcase musicians on this album. I wanted to showcase songs. And that was my main concern about writing these songs.
That's awesome to hear, because I totally understand where you're coming from with that. Because like you, it sounds like you definitely want to make more music than rather just show off certain types of styles and all that. You rather make more productive songs that will attract people to listen to the music more rather than just be more like, you know, like musicians, you said, like musicians be more attracted to the musician part of it, but you want to attract fans based on the song creativity. Am I correct?
Exactly. You know, there are songs that I've done the last couple of records that never caught on because they were, you know, musician heavy, you know. But if I go on tour anywhere in the world and I play Me Against the World, if anyone's never even heard that song, and they are just jumping around and going crazy for it because it was a well-structured song, it was a well-written song, and it connects with people. And that's on it, you know, for any song. So, you know, I was hoping that these songs would have that same effect, you know, that they would have longevity. And, you know, all the classic songs that I listen to, still listen to, I listen to, oh my God, that song's been around for 35, 40 years, and it's still amazing. You know, it didn't get dated. And those are the songs that's what I was focused on, a song that would last longer than hopefully me, you know. Instead of vanishing off in the heavy metal world, you know, I didn't want that. I was trying to write, you know, 9 or 10 songs that could stand up on their own. And, you know, when I play it in front of people that have never even heard the song would react to it, you know. So that's kind of my whole purpose.
That's awesome. That actually is a good goal to go for. I mean, you definitely want your music to, like, outlive you and have a legacy behind it. I mean, so many people forgetting that that's the big thing that musicians want the most of when they make music, that their music is not just a, you know, one-hit wonder or, like, something that was popular for a couple months. They want something that would create a long-lived legacy, even way past their time. I mean, look at Black Sabbath. They have a huge legacy, and they are going to be probably still the most popular band, one of the most popular bands, even when I'm gone.
Exactly. And when War Pigs comes on, all these, you know, 13-year-old kids are going crazy for a song that was written, you know, in the 60s, pretty much, or at least the early 70s. So it's, you know, when you write a song, sometimes it takes on its own identity, but sometimes it's so well written that it's able to sustain, you know, and you try to put that song in other new comparison to our, you know, they blow away anything new. So, you know, it's very few bands that are able to come back and say, okay, we're going to record songs that are going to have, like you said, legs and stay around for a while and be synonymous with that band. And that's all I'm trying to do.
That's awesome. We definitely want to have you around a lot longer. Because believe me, since the latest single you released, My Midnight Things, has received such a huge welcoming from the metal community, both young and old. And every time I look online, people are talking about this single. They can't wait for the new album. Or when you say it's with all these bands during these farewell tours, you think this would be like a comeback album for you in the time of people doing farewell tours?
You know, I guess so. You know, this only the press has the full album, and it's been the most positive response I've ever had doing press. Never. It's always been mixed reviews or this and that, or they don't care or whatever. But so far, all the press I've been doing, they, like I said, have the full album and they love every song. And I'm like, wow, you know, I did not expect that response. So I'm actually blown away by it. And like I said, after 35 years of doing this, I've never had that kind of response. So there is definitely, people are welcoming me back, and in such a great welcoming way that it makes me want to stay around and keep doing this. You know, and I'm hoping the fans have the same reaction that the press is having to the album. And if that happens, you know, I'll be making records, you know, well beyond the contract that I just signed, you know, so, and playing shows. So yeah, I have no desire to retire. I still feel excited about it all, especially because there's a new injection of the audience. They're getting younger and they're exciting the older fans, and it's making it such a great party every time we play. So yeah, I mean, it is a comeback tour, I guess, you know, as far as recording is concerned.
That's awesome, because it seems like you said, like young generation and all that, they really are like becoming like the new like foundation from some classic metal acts, it seems like. Like you see, you have these like 13-year-olds still going crazy over Maiden songs, Judas Priest songs, Queensryche songs, and it just makes it seems like the metal generation just keeps on extending itself with each new like album that from classic masters like you are constantly putting out there. So what do you think with Metal Blade backing you up and all that? I think since they evolved since the 80s, you think with them back in the album that you have more reach when it comes to fans with Metal Blade at the helm?
Well, I'm hoping so. You know, I mean, the last two records didn't have that effect, and it was the collapse of the industry, and it was also the fact that like you said, the kids were not involved. They were into hip hop or they were into this or that. And now these kids, this new generation of kids, have discovered this music, and it's for them, you know, it was like me discovering some bands where I didn't discover them till late, and then I realized every time I go to a record shop, there's six records to buy. You know, I'm like, oh, I'm so far behind. I want to get into this, you know? And I think that's what's happening. You know, people are discovering Lizzie Borden, going, who are these? Who is this? You know? And then they look back and see the albums. And in fact, I started in 1983. And then, you know, the more research they do, the more we become their band, you know? And that's the exciting part for me. So, they all say it comes full circle, but you never know when that full circle is going to start. And at the death of the 80s metal scene, which died about 92, you know, it hasn't come back to classic metal. It went off to new metal and all these other stuff, but it hadn't come back to classic metal for a long time. And now, I mean, I just saw Maiden at T-Mobile. That hasn't happened in a long time. Know, the big giant arena, you know, for a band, and quite probably at least half the audience was not even born when all their albums were released. So you could see now is the time that it's come full circle, but you never know when that's going to come for any music, you know. So it's great that it's here now, and it's perfect timing for my Midnight Things, I think.
I think so too, because, you know, like these kids are really loving the warm reception of your music, and they really want to like see you play more in big arenas. And it seems like these kids are constantly trying to add new, like try to reach out more to the classics, and they seem to be more fun the classic stuff more than anything. So you think with the right now being full circle and all that, you think right now you can probably see like a resurgence, I guess, for the need to go into the classics?
Well, you know, you see it from the big bands. You start at the top, and you see Iron Maiden and Metallica are bigger now than they ever have been, as far as the live circuit is concerned. You know, they all can sell out these massive amounts of places, bigger than they were in the 80s. And that is amazing to see that happen. Now, you have the trickle-down effect because there's not that many classic metal bands still around. I just saw Judas Priest and Saxon in Vegas here last weekend, and I saw, looked around the audience, all young kids going crazy to Saxon playing these songs that were written before they were born. And Judas Priest, same thing. And it was just such a amazing thing for me. You know, I was a fan sitting in the audience, looking around and seeing this reaction. And it's the same one that I'm getting as well. And seeing these young kids going crazy, you know. And like I said, we haven't really seen that since the early 90s. So that's the last time we saw that kind of enthusiasm, mainly because the audience got older and they're not necessarily going to be going crazy. But now the younger fans are injecting this whole new energy into it. And that's why Metallica plays stadiums. It's not because they're just playing to the older fans. They're playing to this whole new generation of new fans that have just now discovered the band and love them, you know? So, yeah, it starts at the top with the bigger bands, and then it trickles down to the last few classic metal bands that are still around. And so I'm happy to be one of them.
I mean, believe me, hopefully we get a chance. Hopefully we all can see you once again and get back in the spotlight, because everyone has been super excited about hearing the announcement of your return. And was there any obstacles that you would say, like, that you had, like, going to the studio? Or would you say that, what did it felt like going back into the studio to make a new album? Like, how was that after having a long hiatus torn and all that? How was that going to the studio felt to you?
It felt, it was hard because I didn't know the direction I wanted. I knew I did not want to make a point with Death Part 2. So I knew I was going to make something completely different. But I didn't make a mistake. I worked on too many songs. I had like 40 songs. And I spent so much time working on these songs that never made the record. And I, you know, I recorded them. I you know, kept reworking them, retooling them. And really in the last few weeks of recording, I ended up throwing most of them out. So I spent so much time working on songs that didn't make the record. And that was a lot of energy got expended doing that. That was my mistake. But I didn't know how the songs were going to fit together. I needed to find the right combination. And I didn't know, as I was working on them, I didn't know how they were going to fit together until I finally narrowed down the exact songs that do fit together. And the ones that were outcast, I got rid of them. And so I won't make that mistake again. Next album, the only songs I'm going to be working on are the ones that actually make the record. But with this one, I because it's been 11 years, I didn't know where I wanted to take it. And I had to let it just kind of flow out of me and see where it went. So that was the biggest obstacle that I had. I spent too much time working on songs that didn't make the record, but it was fun. And, towards the end, I really got that studio vibe going, where I really understood how to write. I mean, the last two songs I wrote for the album were My Midnight Things and We Belong to the Shadows. And I wrote them very quickly, and they came together very quickly, wrote and recorded both of those inside of a week. And usually I take a long time, but so that the vibe I had at the end of recording was flowing. And I had, you know, we actually wanted to continue it because it was going so quickly. And so, you know, the ideas were flowing so fast. And those are two of the better songs on the record. So I was really excited to say, okay, well, I'm getting better as I go. And the lack of me being in the studio is starting, you know, all that rust is coming off, and I'm starting to get my legs under me, my studio legs under me. And so it's a lot more fun to be in the studio when you've got things flowing, rather than struggling for a part or struggling for this or that. When it flows, it's so effortless and so fun. And, you know, when I sing it, it's usually the first time that I sing it. So what you're hearing is one of the first few times that I sing it. I just belt it out, and then I either like it or don't like it. And if I keep it and it's the first take, you can't get any better than that. That's so amazing.
That's awesome. It sounds like you still have tons of creative juices still in the works, it seems like. So would it be safe to say then that
I do.
Would it be safe to say that you probably will end up making probably another album after this? Like, can we continue to see this momentum continuing project for the next couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, I signed a 3-album deal with Metal Blade, so I've already been mapping out the second. I'm working on the show, but I'm also mapping out the next record because I want to get ahead, you know. And I, like I said, I don't want to work on songs that I'm not going to be, that are not going to make the record. You know, that was one of my mistakes that I won't make on this next record. And this next record is already so different than my Midnight Thing. So I'm so excited about chasing that. So I don't have, it's not going to be a continuation. It's going to be, I'm starting at the beginning and creating something from scratch again, like I do for every record. The only thing that would stop a record coming out another record coming out two years from now is if there's amazingly extensive touring. So we'll see how long the tour lasts and see how long, but I'm already getting started. I've already written a couple of songs for the next record. So, I'm going to start demoing them and seeing where it takes me and what kind of record, the next one will be. But I'm also looking for the reaction for Midnight Things. And that also steers me in the right direction as well, too. So, I'm not anxious to get started. I'm anxious to get started, but I'm not, going to get started until the album comes out and things start flowing.
That's awesome. And we are so happy that you finally get, you back in the limelight again. And we have all been waiting for this return for such a long time. And we do want to see once again on behalf of Metalheads Forever. Thank you so much for doing this interview with us. It's great to have an interview with one of the best musicians that we know in the world to have an interview with. I just want to let you know we do appreciate that as well on the behalf of the magazine. And one more question before you, I'm sure you're pretty busy. One more question before we go our separate ways. What would you say right now is the biggest expectation you can tell future new fans about the latest release? What would you think the best way to describe it to attract the new listeners to the album?
The main thing is I wrote, 9 separate songs, and the 10th song is a reprise of the title track, and that's a different song entirely. So I wanted everyone to kind of take the journey through the album and the way it's sequenced. So once you get past the first song, you go into the second one, and you kind of go from there and take the whole journey. A lot of people do singles. You get one single. You can see one or two songs are better than every other song on the record. I didn't want that for this record. I wanted people to be able to get through. That's the whole reason to record albums, is to take the journey through the album. So, in one listen, you can listen to the beginning and go all the way through instead of, having it on shuffle mode, So I really wanted, I make albums. So I wanted people to be able to not to go into shuffle mode and to actually go, okay, I'm going to put on the first track and left throughout the whole thing and take the, my main concern with this, if you're going to, that's the way it should be. If you're going to make singles, then yeah, one or two songs off of each album, then you got it on mode, everything's good. But for this, hoping that fans will take it throughout the whole album and react to it if they want. And, that's kind of my goal, to keep making albums.
That's awesome. That's a great way, I think the best way to tell anyone when it comes to an album. Definitely appreciate for every song on the album where we present. And good having good segue between the songs as well. So I'm hopefully all fans are listening, listen to this album from the start to finish. Because believe me, with Lizzie Borden, this is going to be one epic journey that you do not want to miss out on. So thank you so much, Lizzie, for having you on our show and all that and our magazine. Is there anything else we can do for you today?
No, I just tell your readers and everybody that to hopefully they will buy the album. That's how you support a band. Everyone gets it for free and they listen to it for free, and that's awesome. But if they put their $10 down and buy the album, that ensures the band's going to make future albums. So I'm hoping that people understand that. I know a lot of people do not understand that, and they just listen to it for free on live, which is, I'm totally for that too. But if they want to support the band, buy the album, especially in the first week. And that helps the whole industry, and they don't realize that $10 contribution means everything to the longevity of classic metal, and classic metal bands, or really the whole music industry in general. you know. So I'm hoping that everyone understands that and hopefully buys My Midnight Things at least in the first week, if not before. The packages and everything are on sale now. But the album comes out June 15th, and I can't wait for everyone to hear it.
Awesome. You hear that, everyone. Remember, first week the album comes out, I want everyone to buy this album, support it in any way possible if you want to keep the music alive. And once again, thank you, Lizzie, for being on our show, and we hope you have a wonderful day, and we can't wait to see you on tour again.
Thank you so much. Great talking to you, and I'm hoping to bring the Midnight Things show close to you, and it's going to be it's fun. It's going to be fun.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Okay. See ya.
There we go. All set. Thank you so much. I do appreciate it.